And our presenter, Jason Cooper. Please invite. We are ready for you.
Good afternoon, everyone. So, I apologize for a few things. Number one, yes, we don't have a handout. Reason being, have you ever just woken up one morning and you're like, I should just go back to bed? Like, have you ever had those? So within 24 hours, in my world, my life, a leak it happened at our church. My wife woke up this morning. Her whole back is locked up. She can't move. So what was planned to be a phenomenal presentation today, because I was not really the main speaker. We actually had our whole team were going to come today and teach this session, because it takes a team to make things relevant so you don't compromise the gospel. But unfortunately, all of our teams had to go do other things. So we might have the shortest breakout session ever in the history. No, just kidding. But so that's been my morning. I literally just drove in here 5 minutes ago.
Wow.
So if you can all can give me a little grace. I got a whole bunch of everyone's notes, and I think if I can do my job well, we'll have a great session. So just want to kind of let you know what's kind of been going on. But yeah, let's talk about relevance without compromise. And I'd like for today to be engaging. I'll share a little bit. I'm going to share our story quite a bit from this journey. And hopefully that'll just be able to, that'll be able to give some insight into this topic, because I think this topic's a pretty good topic to have some conversation on. So my apologies for no handouts. My apologies for that. But if you like technologies, just hit record, or you can go on the website in about a week or so and download the information. So let me just start off with a scenario. How many of you have ever been part of like a group text message, right? And out of nowhere, somebody replies, and the whole conversation goes sideways.
You've
been there, right? We're like, why did this person just reply short, direct, no context, and no emojis? Because you know, if there are no emojis, something is wrong. So it would be safe to say that from that moment, there could be a lot of perspectives. Like, A, is there something really seriously going wrong with this person? Because they replied with no context. Another person could say, well, you know, that's how Sue always replies, because she's just passive aggressive. the third person could actually think, well, someone's being funny. Or you might have run into these people at church where someone got offended.
Yep.
They left the group chat and left the church 30 days later, right? That scenario brings up what we want to talk about just for the next few moments, because the issue with that scenario is not the message. It's the lack of understanding, because there's no context. And this context, or this talk about relevance without compromise, I want to start off by giving us something like a form of a challenge to think about. A lot of the conversation around this topic, I think, personally, from our journey of starting our church 10 years ago, I think we're asking the wrong question. Because sometimes we keep on asking, how do we make our churches relevant? How do we reach our communities? How do we reach this growing generation? I'm wondering if we're asking the wrong question. Because relevance is not universal. Relevance is always defined from vision. You can write that one down. Learn this the hard way. Relevance is always defined by vision. And if we don't define who we are as local churches, we don't define the vision of what God has called us to do, we will eventually start copying someone else who has a clear vision. And listen, copying always feels good because it gives a little momentum until it starts costing us our identity. These are lessons that I have learned over the last 10 years about how to be relevant without compromise. So let's say it this way. What most gets labeled compromise in the modern church, I believe, is not compromise. I believe it's a confusion of vision. Here's why. Because when a vision's unclear, methods get misjudged, differences get criticized, and people start trying to fix things that were never actually broken. So let's bring a little bit of clarity back to this conversation of relevance without compromise. Because I don't believe the goal of the church is to be modern.
Right.
Nor do I believe the goal of the church is supposed to be like the first century church.
Right.
The goal of the church is to make sure the message that we carry is being received by the people that we're called to reach.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
We are Pentecostal, right?
Yes.
Make sure. Because I believe if we get that right, we can be deeply relevant without ever compromising truth. So let's start building from the ground up, right? Relevance is not universal. It's defined by vision. So what if we start asking the question, what are we supposed to be relevant to or relevant for? Because if relevance or being relevant is not anchored in our vision, it becomes imitation. And that's where compromise begins. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 9:22. I become all things to all people. Don't sanitize the text, though. So that by all means possible, I can reach some. Become all things to all people by all means possible to reach some. Same message, different method. Like there was a moment where Paul shaved his head. Scripture tells us to reach people. Looking out today, some of you are on that journey. Hey, I just drove in here, okay? I haven't had time to relax nor have coffee, so pardon me. See, if we don't define relevance by our vision, culture and comparison will. Let me say that again. If we don't define relevance from our vision, meaning your local individual vision God's giving your church, if we do not define relevance or how to be relevant through that vision, culture or comparison will. So point number one, relevance is only relative to vision. Relevance can only be relative to vision. It's safe to say every church is called with the same mission.
Right.
The kingdom of God. To expand the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
See, people come to Christ. Make the core disciples. Tenets of the faith. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Create disciples.
Yes.
That's the same mission. We're all doing the same mission.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not expressed the same.
Right.
You can have a different vision while still moving forward God's mission. Amen?
Amen.
Because here's the reality. Some churches are revival hubs.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption Church is called to be a revival center.
Mm-hmm.
We are. But some churches are called to be teaching centers. Some churches are called to be community anchors. Some are called to be missionary sending bases. Same gospel, same mission, different assignments. Because remember, relevance is only relative from your vision. Because my goal, Redemption Church's goal, is to reach the people we've been sent to reach. So we have a vision. We have a way. And that's how we are relevant. Habakkuk 2:2, famous passage, right? Write the vision. Make it plain, so that he who reads it will run. But sometimes I think, because I know I sanitize the text. I'm like, I've read that many times. I've preached it, right? But have you ever noticed that what Habakkuk said is actually powerful? He said, write it, make it plain, so whoever can read it can run. Here's something to consider. If people aren't running with you, can they read your vision? And is it plain? Write the vision, make it plain, so that he who reads it, or she,
thank you.
You're welcome. He or she, we're all humanity. He or she can run. But they can only run if they can read it. And we can only read things if it's plainly written. So if there are people who are not running with you, maybe we should ask the question, is our vision readable? Or if your vision is readable and people aren't running with you, let them run away. Come on. Because you've been sent with a vision for your community. If it's plain and people can read it, some will run. As what Paul said, he became all things to all people and by all possible means so that some would be one. Are we together?
Yes.
All right. So we're not called to be a better version of another church.
Right.
Right. We're called to be a clearer version of your assignment that God has given us as individual churches.
Amen.
So here's what we do at Redemption Church. When we create the Sunday morning encounter to have relevance without compromise, we always just go back to our vision every week. Every week. We ask these questions. Has what God called us to carry, are we meeting that goal? Are we meeting that goal? Number two, are we reaching the people we've been sent to reach? Are we seeing redemption happen in the lives of people? Can I give you just an example? When we first started our church's name was not Redemption Church. It was called City Reach Schenectady. We're actually part of a network that launched churches called City Reach Network. Maybe some of you have heard about that network. Well, unfortunately, just to keep it cordial, they had to dissolve. And so did we. So in 2 weeks, after 2 years of starting a church, we had to rebrand, get a new vision, get a new logo, create a new website, and we did it. But we started asking different questions. Who has God sent us to reach? What has God called this church to do? What is our vision? So what we did is this thought came to me. There was a room full of 10 people and myself, and I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to draw a bullseye on the board. And our bullseye is the center, right? We always want to hit the center.
Yeah.
We got to define what that is. And in everything we do, we're going to try to hit the target. From that day till today, we haven't moved off that bullseye. Yeah. Our target person we call Andy. Because that can be a boy or a girl. And we want all people. But we defined it as Andy. We have a demographic of people that we are targeting. We have characteristic traits of those demographics that we're targeting. We have narrowed down the people we've been called to reach. Because as we were rebranding, the Lord asked me a question. Jason, who are you called to reach? I said, everyone. He said, no. I said, wait a minute. That's what I was taught. I'm supposed to reach everyone. He said, why do you think you're going to do a better job than my son? He came to reach everyone, and not everyone's following him yet. I said, well, that's hard. Now I got to define who I'm called to reach. That's what we did. We narrowed everything down. And so therefore, that's what we started to build our church upon. Here's why I say that, because relevance is not supposed to work everywhere. What's relevant for your church is not necessarily going to be relevant for my church. But what is relevant for my church will work, and it should work for every other local church. Because then we don't have to worry about fixing things that actually aren't broken. Maybe it's just a refocus or understanding. So number three, preparation does not dilute the anointing. It protects it. Let me say that again. Preparation does not dilute the anointing. It defends it and protects it. I am a tongue-talking, demon-casting,
Amen.
Holy Ghost fire preaching individual. But can I just be very transparent? Preparation is also spiritual.
Yeah.
Spontaneity is not a plan.
True.
Preparation allows for spontaneity.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
The power of God moves within structure. It doesn't move outside of structure. The breath of God moves in order, not in chaos.
Okay.
Go back to Genesis. It's my favorite book of the Bible. When God drew man and the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. But look at the text. God drew the outline and then blew his spirit in the structure. God moves best in structure and in order. Remember Genesis 1:1? Everything was chaos, dark, void. Then God started to set order and structure. Preparation doesn't dilute the anointing. It defends it. And this is where, honestly, Pentecostals struggle. If we plan too much, we'll lose the spirit. Let's be honest, the lack of preparation has never been the proof of spirituality.
Right.
And spontaneousness is not supposed to be what we look for the anointing to fall.
Right.
Preparation allows for God to move. That's why 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, but everything should be done in decency and in order. The temple had an order. The priesthood had a process. Jesus fed 5,000 people and told them to sit down in groups before he fed them.
Mm-hmm.
There was order.
Yeah.
There was structure. There was preparation. This happened just last Sunday at Redemption Church. We have two services, one at 9 and one at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Same music set, same message, different encounters.
Mm-hmm.
The 9 o'clock was like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
Good music. Phenomenal message by an amazing pastor.
I know.
Even had an altar call. And God moved. Second service comes around, same music. God decided to show up differently. We went an hour and 15 minutes in music. Just people falling out, slink, because you know that still happens.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, at least that's our mission. That's
right.
Our vision. People are just on the floor. People getting slain in the spirit. A message in tongues broke out. Two interpretations from two different people. I didn't get to preach. But God moved.
Amen.
Because we were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because God's power moves best when things are prepared. And so, lastly, celebrate your difference. Like your vision of your local church, celebrate it. We have a saying at Redemption Church, we're not better than, we're just different from.
Right.
We're not better than any other church. We're just different.
Amen.
And we celebrate that difference. We want our team to celebrate that difference. We want our volunteers to celebrate that difference. We want our staff to celebrate that difference. And you know what's kind of nice when that starts to happen? We can now lead people better.
Yes.
Because if the staff isn't celebrating the difference, then we have a different conversation. If volunteers aren't celebrating the difference, we can have a healthy, different conversation.
Yeah.
But you have to celebrate your difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we collaborate in our community with all different types of churches. We really communicate to our local church, we're not better than, we're different from. So please do not communicate that we're better than any other church. We're not. We're just different, and we decided to understand the power of celebration because celebration kills comparison. When you can celebrate what you're called to do, it kills you comparing yourself to someone else.
Amen.
Because when your whole church can celebrate what you do, and pastors and leaders, when you can look at yourself in the mirror and celebrate what you do, you can watch an online sermon and celebrate someone else's
Absolutely.
Celebration and still get on the pulpit and preach your message
Amen.
That God's given
Amen.
You on that
Amen.
Sunday morning.
Yes.
When you celebrate your vision, you can celebrate others
mm-hmm.
and their vision. Celebrate the difference
yes.
because that's what kills comparison. So with all that being said, what looks too simple, what looks too deep, what looks too loud, what looks too quiet, may actually be perfect alignment for those specific churches.
Right.
Because that's what God's called them to specifically do to be relevant without compromising truth to their community. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So that's what we do at Redemption Church. That's what we've been doing solidly for the last 8.5 years since we've had to rebrand. And I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I should not be the one talking up here because I probably have learned more from my mistakes than from my successes. But one thing I do appreciate about what God is doing in New York with the Assemblies of God is that we are here on a Saturday hungry to learn
mm-hmm.
so that we can continue to fulfill our individual missions,
yes.
our individual visions, yes. our individual assignments God's given us
Amen.
So that we can reach our communities
yes.
for the Lord to have healthy churches
mm-hmm.
in every community
mm-hmm.
doing what God has called
mm-hmm.
all of us to do. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So thank you for just allowing me to chat with you for a few moments. I don't know what time it is right now.
We still have 5 minutes.
I still have 5 minutes.
Yes.
I was waiting for the cue card to say you got 5 minutes. So,
you have 2 minutes before cue card.
I got 2 minutes before
continue.
Cue card. So I can answer any questions as best as possible. If not, I'll give you my wife's number because she'll probably answer them better than me. Right? But any questions, I'd love to help answer. If not, I don't mind leaving early, because who doesn't like to leave class early?
Right.
Come on.
Right?
Especially when it's lunch. We might
yes.
be first in line. So.
Right? Let's go.
But thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.